This morning we bless your name, Lord, that holy name which is above all names, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord, that you are the creator of this universe, Lord, that you are the one who saves your people, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you just be with us, Lord, as we go through the remainder of this service, Lord, that you would just have your Holy Spirit move in a mighty way within people's lives, Lord. Lord, just help guide us and direct us this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen. This morning we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. This series, you know, is called Faithfulness, Steadfastness During Trying Times. And we all have them trying times. And we're going to talk about a figure this morning that you will see once you get to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, that we've already talked about this morning. And we talked about last Sunday morning during the scripture reading, you know, that that we have in the book of Exodus by a gentleman by the name of Moses. Moses was a faithful man. Was Moses a perfect man? By no means was he. Moses was not a perfect man, but Moses was faithful. When God asked Moses to do something, Moses kind of wish-washed around a little bit. Lord, I don't know if I can do this, but Moses did it anyway. And Moses went and he got his people and he brought them out of Egypt into the promised land, or not quite the promised land, but toward the promised land, almost there. Joshua brought them on into the promised land. But we see that the faithfulness of Moses during a trying time in his life, in the life of Israel, he was faithful. And I would kind of make this into, you know, today we can look at our lives here. You know, in our nation in which we live in trying times, and God is asking us to be faithful. He's asking us as individuals to be faithful, to pray for our nation. And prayer alone is never to be alone. Prayer is to have feet to it. So we have to step up and we have to pray about it, and then we also have to do something about it. God moves us to do something. God moved Moses to do something. And that's what we as a country, we as Christians within this country, we need to stand up for Christ within the country in which we live. This is Memorial Day, and I just want to, just at this time, I want to recognize all of our ones here today that have served in our military. If you will stand up, just served in our military. I know we got a one here. So Brother Bill's out there. Brother Bill has served in our military. Let's give these guys a hand clap of praise, just thanking them. We do not worship the men that have fought for us, but we are thankful for the men and women that have fought for our country to give us the right to be here today, to be able to worship our Lord and Savior freely, and we thank Him for that. And as we look at this list that was put together by Brother Bill and Miss Mary, probably by Miss Mary, but Brother Bill helped, I'm sure. He'll come through the doors in a second. I did that. No. But we have the ones in honor of, this ones that we have today. And we still have, you know, quite a few here. And you may know more. And if you know some more, you know, that are within our community, within our church, just let us know and we can update this list. Or there may be some in memory of, you know, that have passed on, you know, that you can add to this list. Just let us know so we can, or they can get this list updated. Memorial Day is a day to remember those who have fallen, those who have gone to be with the Lord, those who have went on that have fought for our country. Sometimes we get a little mixed up. You know, we look at everyone and we acknowledge everyone, but Memorial Day is a more memorial. It's for those who have went on. You can go, and I've been there once to Little Rock, to the National Cemetery there in Little Rock, and just driving up to it, and you see all them white tombstones out there of all of them men and women that have gone on before us, that have fought for our country and have gone. But as we know, that them aren't the only ones. I can go to Benton Cemetery, where all of my family is born, or all of my family is buried, and I can look at in that cemetery and I can see footstones and headstones of men and women that have fought for our country, that have sacrificed for our country. And so we need to thank them and just remember them for what they have done. But we as Christians, and that's what Hebrews does a great job of acknowledging this, and I love whenever it talks about the greater cloud of witnesses, those who have gone on before us that were men and women of faith in God's word, that they showed to be faithful in difficult times. It's not hard to be faithful in good times. It's difficult to be faithful in hard times. And that's when we need to look to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for all that you have done for me, and all that you're going to do for me and our country, because we are blessed this morning, folks, that we do live in the best country in this world, that we have more rights here because of men and women who fought for them. We have the right to worship. We have the right of freedom of religion, that we can come and we can worship our Lord and Savior. And I believe that's what God had commissioned Moses to do in his time, is to be faithful, to bring his children out. And Miss Retha read it this morning in Exodus. And I love this, because I've listened to a series on this before about God hears the cries of people that are in anguish. God hears the cries of his children. And that's what Moses, or the children of Israel, were crying out. And God led Moses to go and to be faithful to bring them out of that bondage in a place where they were in the wilderness. And then they finally got to go across into the promised land. So are y'all there yet? I've given y'all a good little time. You know, shake your head, nod your head, blink your eyes, something. Make sure that you're still here. Are you there yet? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 through 29 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So, have we heard this before? Like last week or the week before, we heard this, didn't we? So this is acknowledgement, that God's word is living, it is active. God's word is from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God's word is forever relevant for us today, just like it was 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. I'm a young earther, so I believe the earth is about 6,000 years old, so I can't go beyond that. So, but you have your own, you have a right to believe what you want to believe. But by faith, he was not afraid, or they were not afraid of the king's command. What was the king's command? Okay, we're going to have a little, wait, Brother Chuck, I know that you know. So we're going to have a little bit of a refresher from what we were listening to. We're going to see if we're listening to the Bible reading on Sunday mornings whenever it's read. What was the commission of the king at that time? Do what? All male babies would be killed, wouldn't it? Huh? Under 2 years old. So we have, now that was a different time. That was a little bit further. Same place, but a little bit further down the road. Well, and then Jesus. but we see that the male children were to be killed.
Why?
Oh, see, I'm meddling a little bit this morning. I'm seeing if you were paying attention. Why were the male children? Why did he want the male children killed? Miss Aretha, you read it. Don't be trying to answer that question. Okay. Why? Because they thought that Egypt or Israel was getting, or the Israelites were getting too many, and that they were going to take control. So, see, look, y'all might start listening a little more. I feel like I'm talking to my kids at school. Come on now. Y'all listen now. So we have our, you know, this time that they was wanting to kill all the male babies, you know, but Moses, his mother and his father hid him for 3 months. And then they put him, you know, in a basket. You know, we always hear a basket. They say in God's word, they call it, what did we call it last week? An ark. What is an ark? It's a boat. It's a something that contains something that helps it float down the river. It's a boat. So, verse 24, and y'all want to be here all day? Guess what? It's Memorial Day weekend. It's just us. We ain't gonna have service tonight. So let's just stay here a while. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, and he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king or the Pharaoh, you know, is what we would look at it, for he endured to see as seeing him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith, he passed through the Red Sea as to dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So we see this passage, and we hadn't got to some of this yet in the book of Exodus, so, you know, I want y'all to pay attention whenever we go to read it. Y'all might want to do some reading ahead, because we ain't got to the Red Sea yet, have we? But guess what? We'll get there. So it's a great story, and I told you at the very beginning of the book of Exodus that the book of Exodus is like a novel. It's just like this story that, man, it starts off, you know, with a baby, and then it grows in excitement, and it grows in intrigue, and then, you know, it just flows through and goes down to them going out, you know, going out of Egypt and going through the Red Sea, through the Red Sea into the land that God had put them in for 40 years. So it's just a great story that happened, that God has put to show the faithfulness and of God's people, but also it shows the mercy of God. And I want us to see that and think about that, and I know we're going to have notes, but notes are to be left behind. So mercy is what God showed Egypt. Mercy, I believe, is what God is showing us here in the United States right now by not just wiping us off the face of the earth because of what we have done as a country. We see that God's mercy, how His mercy gives us something that we do not deserve, or we don't get what we do deserve in His mercy. You know, the Egyptians, you know, they were not against God, but they were not following God the way that they should follow God. So God had the right, because God is God, to just let them stay in the situation that they were in. But God had mercy on them. And God has mercy on us, even though we do not act in the way that we should act a lot of times, and that is including me, that we do not do what we should do according to God's word. God has mercy upon us. And we should sing them songs, you know, that we sang this morning or the meaning of them songs, how great thou art, because thou had mercy upon me. Is that how the song goes? No, but that's how it is in my heart. God had mercy upon me. One who did not deserve it, but God had mercy. And as we look through this passage, we can see a few things, you know, that God has shown to Moses, you know, but it's a foundation of faithfulness. You know, the example of Moses' parents. You know, Moses' parents had faith in God, and they were not afraid of what would happen to them if they kept this child. And when we look at this, oh, let me just ask you another question. This just came to my mind. How did Moses not get killed whenever he was born? Do what? No, when he was born. Who was supposed to kill him whenever he was born? The midwife, wasn't it? And what did the midwife do? She told a little fib, saying, well, the Hebrew women, they would never call us, so they had the babies before we ever got there. Then they kept Moses alive, and they put him in the basket, and the Pharaoh's daughter got him. And you want to see some faithfulness? What happened after that? Man, I'm telling you, this is just too good. You have to go back to Exodus. God's faithfulness and God's mercy, what happened? Moses' mother got to take care of him and got paid for it. Y'all ever heard that story about this woman that was in her house, and her neighbor was always telling her, there is no God, there is no God. You know, there ain't nothing about God. You know, you're just delusional. And he heard her praying out on the porch one morning about, man, God, God, I need some food. Lord, I'm running low. You ever heard this? I'm running low. Lord, I don't have stuff. And she went back in the house, and the guy said, I heard her. I'm going to show her. And he went and bought all this stuff, went and put it on her porch. She came back and said, praise the Lord, he bought me some groceries. He got me some stuff. He has supplied my needs. And the guy jumped out from behind the bushes and he said, ha-ha, I got you. I'm the one who bought that. I'm the one who put that on your porch. She said, thank God, I got the groceries and you got the devil to buy them for me. Y'all ain't never heard that? Got the devil to buy them for me. Man, it's God is faithful. And he is, and us is looking at example of parents. And, you know, we just went through Mother's Day. And what's going to be next month is Father's Day. And we can think of the examples of Moses' parents being faithful. And we should be faithful also to help take care and to teach and to be obedient and to step out in faith, because we know who God is. We know that God is faithful, and we can be the parents that God has called us to be, even, and it says here, courage in the face of danger. They had a danger. If they would have got caught, you know, hiding this male child, guess what? They probably would have been killed themselves along with the child. But they were willing to take that chance. They were willing to have courage in the face of danger around them. Are we willing to have courage even when things around us are scary? When we have fear that comes upon us, does our courage take over that fear? Because there is not, and we always hear these stories, and I think people misinterpret it sometimes. People say, well, it's faith over fear. If you have faith, you don't have fear. I do not think that is correct. I think we all have fears in our life. I think it goes, if do you let that fear control you? Or do you let faith control you? Because you have faith and you have fear. Which one controls you in your life? Parents, Who do you have that is in your life? You know, the Lord, you know, is asking you, you know, to have great courage in times of danger, in times of fear. And that's not just parents, that's for everyone in situations, and it may come that to that in this country, that we would have to stand up and have courage, or something may happen to us because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we will not renounce Him. What kind of courage are you going to have? Are you going to have fear? Yes. But is your faith going to give you courage to overcome the fear that is upon you? And it's not just, you know, that could happen in the future, but it may come today, you know, with not necessarily danger, but just something in our life saying, well, I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be looked at differently. I don't want to be the person that is there standing alone in the crowd, because you're surrounded by people, but you're alone in it. And we say, I have fear of standing out. I have fear of not being who Christ has called me to be because of people around me. And that's something we all face today. Because sometimes we get in situations around people, maybe co-workers, it may be family, it may be friend groups, you know, whatever it is, people in our community, it may be all of these, and we have a chance, an opportunity to stand with courage for Christ, even when we know that there's going to be consequences for that in this world. But there's also going to be consequences in God's kingdom for that if you do stand for Him. And that's something we got to know, that we are going to set our minds upon it, that we're going to make sure that today I set my mind, I set myself up, that I'm going to stand for Christ no matter who is around me. I'm not talking about being a jerk. Because there's a lot of people that can be a jerk about it, and they can down everyone around them. And that's what you hear. You don't hear Christ downing everyone around Him that are sinners. You know, you do hear Him downing those who are religious, but not those who are sinners. And what does He say to the sinners? You know, hey, come, invite me into your home. Let me come eat with you. And the religious people say, what in the world is He doing? He's going to defile Himself. He's going to be set out in this community, and He's not going to be recognized at some or by people within our community because He stands out. And that can be even the church, sadly to say, that we can have so many people that are religious that they forget what the Bible says. Because tradition can kill you. Tradition can kill a church and leave it without effect within the community, because we are so wrapped up, churches are so wrapped up in what they do inside the doors, and they forget what God's called them to do outside the doors of the church. So we need to trust in God's plan. Even though it is difficult within our life, we have these examples, and that's what Moses' parents, they trusted in God's plan. They were good Hebrew people that loved God. And we need to trust in that plan, because God's plan can be scary. Because one thing God don't like to do that I just get upset about, He don't like to tell me His future plans. He just says, be faithful right now, and I will carry you through with the plan. You just be faithful. And that is something that I like to know what the outcome is going to be. Sometimes we don't know what the outcome is. But we do know one thing. The steady thing within all things, and that is God. God is steady within our plan or in His plans within our lives. And then we see the importance of early influence on our lives, nurturing our faith in our children and building a legacy of faith. What are you building up in your children? You know, faithful parents produce faithful children. Or you've given them everything that they need to be faithful. I know people say, well, I was faithful and I did all this and my kids, you know, they didn't, after they were grown and got out, they didn't follow the Lord. We have a choice, but they know what it means to be faithful because they have seen it from their parents. They have seen it from the people around them, not just their parents, but maybe also their grandparents. And they have built a legacy, you know, that people, that children will say, you know, even to their grandchildren, man, I can remember when dad or when grandpa, you know, whenever he took us to church, you know, I can remember when dad or grandpa or grandma or mama, you know, how they were faithful, that they prayed for me, you know, that they were giving, you know, of the Lord in everything that they done in their life. And that makes an impact on people around us. So we have this building of a legacy around us. What are you building within your family? And I pray that it is a legacy to love the Lord and to love others. And you say, well, my parents never done that. I never seen that. Guess what? It only takes one generation to change things. One generation. It can start with you. It can start with, you know, those who have families, you know, that say, I don't want my life. I don't want my children to live through what I lived through. I'm going to change that by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and my Savior, giving my life to Him and allowing Him to work in my life. But just like Moses, we have the fleeing from fear. You know, Moses' direction to reject Egypt. You know, Moses was, he was raised by them. He was the Pharaoh's grandson. You know, and whenever you see that, I'm sure that he could have had whatever he wanted. And he said, it's not worth it. I would rather have the things of God. I would rather have God in my life than all the earthly possessions. We need to choose faith over comfort. That's kind of an oxymoron to our society today, isn't it? What's our society about today? Comfort. Whatever's going to make me most comfortable. Don't make me step out of my comfort zone. Don't make me get out of a place where I feel safe. Let me stay in my comfort zone. And we have to choose faith over comfort. Embracing the identity of God in our lives. We got to let God's light shine out of us into others. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. Are we letting Christ's light shine within our lives? Or as we can hear a lot of times in our society, well, my faith is private. Your faith is not private. Your faith should be spread to everyone. God did not die on a cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sin for us to keep our faith to ourselves. We need to embrace our identity in God, in Christ, and we need to let Him live. Because in this, you know, we have a cost of discipleship, and we can see this, Jesus talked about it throughout the Gospels, you know, that there is a cost of discipleship. Discipleship, those who follow after Jesus' teachings and follow the Master, they will have to sacrifice worldly pleasures in order to do that. I always like to look at it as, you know, hey, you might sacrifice worldly pleasures today, but guess what we're going to have for eternity? We're going to have pleasures in heaven. Riches untold. Are the riches money? No. We're going to be able to be with Jesus. Be in a place where there is no sin, that there is no sorrow. Man, that is, I'm looking forward to that day. There is a cost of discipleship here in this world. But we need to stand firm in convictions that we have within our lives. You know, to live for Christ and to stand firm. As I said earlier, you know, that, hey, I'm planting my feet here in God's Word, and this is how I'm going to live my life, no matter what the people around me say. And number three, we need to follow God's path. You know, He had the Passover and the deliverance, you know, in 11:28. He says, by faith, He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He was faithful, you know, in the Passover and the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. You know, He did this through obedience and God's commands. What did God tell him? He told him to paint over the doorpost, the head and the sides of the doors, in order that the death angel may pass over. And now, guess who's getting the firstborn being killed? Not God's people, but Egypt. Because they had not followed God. They do not have the blood that covers them. And folks, that is the direct reference to me. That is the direct reference to Christ. That Christ's blood covers us. So we need to be obedient to follow after Him, just like Moses was obedient to follow God's command. After a little talking to, you know, Moses, you can do this. You know, I needed that little talking to in my life. Brother Jimmy, you can do this. Don't give up now. Keep going. Trusting in the divine protection of the Lord. So we are of obedience to God's commands and we trust in His divine protection within our lives. Then the last part is the crossing of the Red Sea in Hebrews 11:29. He had to step out on faith. Man, we see in the New Testament where Peter got out of the boat, he had to step out on faith to walk on the water. Moses had to step out on faith to stick that rod in the Red Sea. And whenever he stuck that rod in the Red Sea, it just split open. And he and the Israelites went across. And it's just funny how he gave the Israelites just enough time to get out of the water and the Egyptians to be in the water, and God closes the waters. Man, we see this stepping out in faith in our lives, and that goes along with everything that we've looked at, you know, this morning. Are you stepping out in faith? Are you being obedient to God's commands and stepping out in them in faith? Are you going to have fear? Yes. I get a little anxious, as I said earlier, I get a little anxious whenever I don't know what's going to happen. But your fear has to be over or under your faith. What is controlling you in your life? And whenever we step out on faith, if we want to see the miraculous power of God's work in our lives, we are going to have to step out in faith. Do you want to see God work in your life? Do you want to see God do great things in your life? You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone, step out in faith, and let God work. And whenever we do that, man, God is going to show us great and mighty things that we never, ever, ever thought that we could do. Because God is in control. And I would look at you this morning and ask you the question and ask myself the question, is God in control of our lives? Are we living in the flesh or in the spirit? What's controlling us? Are we willing to step out in faith and say, Lord, I know this could hurt. Lord, I know that there could be consequences to this, Lord, but I'm going to step out because I trust you. Because I believe that you have told me to do this. I'm not talking about being ignorant and doing stuff that you just came up on your own. If God is showing you, it's just going to get more and more and more relevant in your life and more visible within your life of what God wants you to do. So are we willing to step out in faith? Well, I don't feel comfortable teaching a VBS class. Step out in faith. You want a blessing? Teach a bunch of kids about Jesus Christ. You want a blessing? Teach kids, teach kids during recreation. Teach kids during craft time. Just show the love of Jesus Christ. And I would say, man, them kids ain't going to bite, but they may. Some kids might bite you. I don't know. But we can look at our lives and we can think, God, thank you for having me step out and doing that. Because if you want a blessing, do what God asks you to do in your life. And kind of wrapping this up, a saying on this is God is leading us to our own sort of exodus. As we follow Christ, we will have to make difficult choices that will require us to trust Jesus. God is looking for us to have our own exodus. Exit out of this world that is holding us in bondage and give us the power, the freedom of following after Christ in our life. As we have a time of invitation this morning, what is the Lord calling you to do? Has this, and it should have, struck a chord in all of us that we need to be more faithful to God, more faithful to Him, to His church, more faithful to what He has called us to do within His Word. It's easy to do nothing. But it's a blessing to do something. Do something for the Lord. Like we hear, just do something. Don't do nothing. Just do something for the Lord. And He will bless you. Try Him on it. See if He won't bless you. He said, well, we're not supposed to try the Lord. He tells us to try Him with His tithes and offerings. Just give to the Lord of yourself and see what blessings you get back. We're going to sing, Jesus Loves Me. And I would tell you what a perfect song. Because Jesus loves you, you can make a difference in the world in which we live in. If we'll stand this morning and have a time of invitation, Lord, we just come before your throne room, Lord, just thanking you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Just help guide us and direct us within our lives, Lord. Lord, and give us faith, Lord. Grow our faith, Lord. Give us strong faith, Lord, to overcome our fears, Lord, that we will live by our faith and not by our fears. Lord, and if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they have never trusted in you, Lord, that you died on the cross for their sins, Lord, that you shed your blood for their sins, Lord, to cover them, Lord, so that the death angel would pass over, that today would be that day that they would give their life to you. I just ask the Holy Spirit to convict hearts today, to draw men and women, boys and girls to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.